Mikey's birthday party?
Miracle.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamets, I hope you're getting stuff done, son, meeting them goals. I have met a goal. Yes. This is my first week back on keto. Yeah, and yeah, I feel great. I feel fantastic. If you are looking for a diet plan, something to do, maybe a lifestyle change, it might be for you, man. Definitely worth checking out. I did it once before, and I think beer and other things eventually got in the way in a pandemic. But I'm back, and the first week is, you know, like I said, I feel wonderful. Highly recommended checking it out. It's also a pretty easy thing to do because everywhere you turn, there's keto everything now. So very easy thing to do, and so far, so good for me. I tell you what, man, this day, you know, looking around the room, you know, earlier I lost something and I was looking all over the house for it. And then I realized the reason why I couldn't find it is because I put it back where it was supposed to be. Yeah. Have you ever done that before? Okay. Let's give a big shout out for some upcoming shows. April 9th, I'm going to be at the 1907 Brewery in Morristown, Tennessee. You can get your tickets there at 1907brewery.com. If you are in the area of Morristown, definitely come out. If you're anywhere close, definitely come out because it's going to be a hell of a show. We're going to have an abracadam good time. All right. Today's episode is brought to you by Will's Towing. Guys, has your car ever broke down on the side of the road? It's the absolute worst. And what's even worse than that is the guy that shows up. Yeah, some dude looks like he's just been touching a possum. Well, at Will's Towing, you never have to worry about that. Everyone who works at Will's is clean, safe, and friendly. If your car ever breaks down, don't hesitate to give Will's Towing a call at 865-272-5300, located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Don't panic if the car breaks down or if you just need a tow anytime. Give Will a call today. All right, Abracadamets. First of all, I want to say today's guest actually has a contagious smile. Yes, he's such wonderful energy comes off of this guy. And in a day and age where everything's contagious, this is something you definitely want to catch. All right. I really enjoy talking with him. Like I said, very fun conversation. And you know what? He's a great magician as well. So if you will, Abracadamets, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with magician Jonathan Molo. All right, I'm excited. We got magician Jonathan Molo here today. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing good, doing good. Well, I tell you what, man, first of all, I'm excited to have you on the Abracadam podcast. But if you don't mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
Absolutely. I am known as the man in the purple suit, Jonathan Molo. I am the official magician of the nonprofit organizations Rockin' Our Disabilities and Autism Eats. And I'm also a performing member at the Academy of Magical Arts at the world famous Magic Castle in Hollywood. Yes. Yeah, I've been doing magic for quite some time since I was a little boy, 10 years old. And it's been a passion ever since. But it's all about making love. Ooh, it's all about with my spectators. No, it's all about spreading love and positivity. And yeah, just leaving that imprint on this earth, man, something positive.
You know, man, that's something. One of my close friends brought this up to me one day. You know, he said, one thing that you do, Danny, getting to perform for people is like you make an impression on people's lives. And, you know, when you really do think of that, and it kind of blows your mind a little bit. You know what I mean? When you do look back at people like that.
But the thing is, I don't think a lot of performers, entertainers, realize how much pull they have, how much they can affect somebody's lives. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I'll tell you right now, I hate social media. I dislike social media to its core, but having somebody contact me and say, hey, I watch your videos, you know, and you inspire me. And you, I had somebody tell me that I'm one of the reasons why they wake up every day just to watch my videos. Wow. You know how powerful that is? It is super powerful that you make somebody smile. You make it. It's crazy.
I know how you feel, man. I know. I mean, there's times, you know, you kind of, it's almost tough not to like get like emotional that it affects you. You know what I mean? You're just like, wow. That's why you can't take it for granted. What we do, man, what we do.
Not at all. And I think a lot of people do. I think, and that's fine. Whatever your reason is to that you're sharing your craft, you know, some people do it for money. Some people do it for fame, which is fine. I'm not saying that's wrong, but you know, if you have a little bit, be a little bit more behind what you're doing, that's emotional, why you're doing something, I think it'll even come out more genuine. It'll come out more, you know, people will connect with you like that. It's a powerful thing.
It is, man. And you know, I think, okay, I mean, of course, you know, the money's nice. I'm not going to lie. And you know, fame helps put butts in the seats and all that's fantastic. Sure. But the thing that is, but it, that only is going to take you so long before you get jaded, you know.
Sure.
So by keeping your head on track, saying, hey, that I'm going to touch someone's life, I'm going to put a smile on somebody's face today.
Absolutely.
Maybe struggling with something. So, but let's do this because is something that you do, my man.
Yes, Jonathan sir.
Molo, you are a professional at putting smiles on the faces and making people happy. Now,
I'm my best, brother.
So, you started out at 10 years old. You said you were 10?
Yes. I have a very common story, like most magicians. I saw David Copperfield vanish the Statue of Liberty on TV. It's iconic. I'm that old. I'm David Copperfield. Vanished the Statue of Liberty. Old.
I love that line. You know what I mean? Because I'm that old too. I'm David Copperfield. Vanished the Statue of Liberty. Old.
You know, it just came into my head. That's how old I am. That sucks. People are like, man, I love Chris Angel and I love David Blaine, and I'm like, I love David Copperfield. That's my boy right there. So it is what it is. Yeah. You know what? One game I love playing during these podcasts or interviews is guess how old this Asian man is. Like,
now that's what I was about to say. You're Filipino, bro. So no one's really going to know how old
you are. It's that Asian blood. You have to guess, Danny. Well, how old do you think I am?
All right. Well, I'm going to, not saying that you look this old, but you threw this out in the timeline. So I'm going to, you 38.
Oh, that's so nice of you. It's close. Usually I get in the early 30s, mid 30s. Maybe some people are a little too nice and they give me the late 20s. I am 43. Yes, it was close.
You know what, Jonathan? I got you by a year, bro. I got you by a year. 44 years old.
44. Hey.
And you know what they say about pasty ginger? You know, it
I don't. You don't have too many of those in the Philippines. So
no, you don't. You don't.
That you can't do roof work.
No roof work. And see, I told you I started out as a busker, but that's why it didn't last long. I had to get.
Man. Yeah, you know. You have to do it in like some cold climate or something. Yeah,
it's a snowstorm. You know what sunscreen is for a ginger?
What is it?
You remember Snuggies?
Snuggies, yes.
Remember those? Well, let me ask you this, because you are from the motherland. There we go. And so is my wife. So, and all her amazing cousins that I love so much. What part of the Philippines? You know, first of all, folks,
A lot of family members. It goes down the. We have a lot of uncles and aunties.
Yes. Yes,
they might not be related, but we have a lot of them.
Auntie can mean two different things.
Absolutely. You know, fun fact, I wasn't born in the Philippines. Both of my parents were born in the Philippines. My dad was in the U.S. Army, and he was stationed in Korea, South Korea, just to clarify. And I was born in Korea. My sister was born in Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. And I have yet to visit the Philippines, which is really sad.
Well, you know what's cool is, well, first of all, so you are a military brat, right?
Yes. Absolutely. 100%.
See, my wife was born there, but then she came here as a baby. So
get
to go back to visit. We would love to go back and visit, you know, someday. Really, we would, you know, but meet all, you know, like I said, she's got a ton of cousins over there that, you know, but would love to. Maybe one day we will, you know. I know my son, it's probably going to, you know, go the first chance he gets to go visit.
How old is your son, if you don't mind me asking?
I've got a 22-year-old son. He lives in Vegas right now. So,
oh, no way. Pretty close.
Yeah. Not too far from you.
Not too far. Yeah.
He loves the Filipino. One thing that he loves out on the West Coast is the Filipino culture is, you know, it's more common out in the West Coast than it is. In the Southeast, at least, you know. Down here, brother, all you guys are like Mexicans to everybody here. So
coming on boats.
even the Mexican dudes will look at my wife and be like, you know, bring her back essay. You know what I mean? So,
hey, we have a lot of the same, like words, you know, in our language. And a lot of, if you don't know out there, Filipinos are closely related to Spanish people from Spain, because we were conquered by Spain back in the day. So yeah, there's a lot of words in the Tagalog language. There's a lot of food that's very similar.
A lot of similarities. And I always throw this out here. You know where Magellan made his last stop at, though? He didn't make it out of the Philippines. Nope.
No way.
They took his ass out. Tuck homeboy out.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even know that. I need to learn a little bit more about my history. Filipinos could be brutal, man.
Hell yeah, they can, man. Filipinos, they got tired of his crap. So there we go. let me ask you this, man. So being a military kid, so you've probably seen some things and stuff. Did you see a magician that maybe inspired you to get into magic, or?
You know, not really. You know, I was very introverted as a kid. Believe it or not, I was a quiet Asian kid in school, and we hardly went out. My parents were not adventurous. Like we lived in Germany, we lived in Europe majority of our lives. And when we would go out and check out the sites and, you know, look at the history, we would eat at places like fucking KFC. Like my dad would, like, Jonathan, oh, look, there's a KFC. And we would just eat KFC, McDonald's. We would never, like, so we were just not very adventurous with going out. And so I wasn't really exposed to, you know, magicians live. Oh, nor did I meet another magician till, like, later on in life. I didn't really know. I didn't realize there was a community till I got into, you know, an adult magician. It took me a while. So mostly on TV, David Copperfield, of course, Blaine. And those are the guys that were very instrumental in, you know, fueling my passion for magic.
You know, the cool thing, you know, I'm like you too. You know, we grew up watching David Copperfield on television. It was such a big, ginormous deal. Every time he had that special would come on. Super exciting times.
Yes.
But, you know, you brought up the name David Blaine, and, you know, much respect to David Blaine. I have all the respect for David Blaine. One thing David Blaine did is that, and it helped me out too. It made you realize, like, I could do this. Maybe I could learn. Cause what Copperfield was doing was was on that out of this universe level, like, you know, like no one could ever be a David Copperfield.
You would have to have a fucking budget. Like, you're there's no way. You know what? I want to banish the Statue of Liberty. Not with your, like, your part-time job. You're not gonna have it.
No. But, you know, Blaine showed up and he had a deck of cards and he was just doing, you know, doing this stuff. And so definitely, you know, he was an influence on me as well, you know. But now,
you know, I
go ahead.
What's crazy with David Blaine, you know, that persona, that dumb cold, like, would you like to see a trick? I have candy in my pocket. Or something like that. You know, it's a little creepy. It comes out a little creepy. That persona was very popular. It was very popular. And I actually got to meet him during his tour for the first time. And he is, like, not like how I thought he was going. He's very friendly, very down to earth, and very funny dude. Very he funny was super, dude.
I got to meet him as well, but it was so weird the way I met him because I just went to go see the show. I was like, well, I got to go see the show. So, and I'm standing there, and I guess he had his merch table out. And I was standing there looking at the merch table, and Antoinette, my wife, she's next to me, and she's elbowing me real hard, just keeps elbowing the hell out of me, you know?
Okay.
Like, what is it? What are you doing? You know? And then I look up, and then he's just standing there right in front of me.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. It was almost like he appeared, you know? But
how
yeah.
How did you feel? Were you
well, I was like, dude, I totally was like, oh no, dude, don't say anything stupid. Don't, you know, don't, you know, I was like,
what did you say?
Well, I was just like, hi, you know? And, I got a dumber story than that though. But he was super cool, man. Super nice, super friendly.
Yeah.
You know, it was a total pleasure to meet him. Now, let me tell you a quick story real quick.
I'm excited. Let's hear it.
Only magicians are going to understand this. So listeners, just bear with us just for a second. Okay. Now, I'll never forget though, the first time back in the day, I met Mike Lamar at
a
lecture
theater too.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Mike Lamar.
Hero.
Yeah. Yeah. He's up there. He's really up there in the world of magic. And, anyways, I had just been studying the topic at the time. And you know how, you know, Michael's thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a pro at it.
I was literally at the top. I put a topic in everything. You know what I'm saying? So, at the end of the lecture, I'm bringing my stuff there from the autograph and he's talking to me. And I'm always used to seeing Michael on, you know, these VHS tapes that I was watching over and over.
VHS, how old you are.
How old VHS. We are. But yeah. I look at him and he's like, hey, how are you? You know, and I said, I have a topic. You know, that's all I can say.
That's what he said.
I have a topic. And he just looked at me like, what? And he's, well, yeah, I've got a topic in a lot of things. And I couldn't get anything else out. And I just handed my Sharpie. And my deck of cards to him, you know. But I mean, afterwards, I was like, "Oh, you loser, idiot!" You know.
Why did you say that?
Why did I just say that? You know. And but yeah. But with Blaine was cool, dude. Super, and it was a good stage show. I enjoyed a stage show, didn't you?
He did really well because a lot of people had a question if David Blaine could transition from like TV close up to something huge on stage. And he got a stand. I checked out his show, his second show, at his first tour in Riverside, California. And he got a standing ovation. And, he's a very likable guy.
Yeah.
That does help. But at the end of the day, man, that dude is very talented, very talented, very inspiring.
I totally enjoyed it, and he was as original as you possibly could be with the kind of the approach that he wanted to go for, you know.
I couldn't do that hold my breath underwater thing. It's Filipinos don't know how to swim very well. At least I can. I suck at swimming, bro.
I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. As a spectator, I was like, wow. Sure. But then, and I always try to watch every magic trick as a spectator. Really, I do. I don't watch it as a, you know, I don't go through magician eyes.
Sure.
But then after a minute, my magician brain wouldn't let me be naive and so trusting.
Did you know that holding your breath underwater is not a trick? Did you know that?
Now give me 1 second. Sorry.
Are you good?
We're good. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's a TED talk that David Blaine, that you can find on YouTube, that he is talking to the medical community on how he held his breath underwater and broke the record for it. like the Guinness Book of World Record. And it's an amazing, if you haven't watched it yet, Danny, or anybody out there, do your favor, do yourself a favor and watch it. It's very, very inspiring. He was trying to cheat in the beginning and find like different methods on how he can breathe underwater. But at the end of the day, he was just like, fuck, I got to do this for real. I have to practice this. And he actually practiced and explained at the very end why he pushes his body to the limit. And it's very inspiring. I won't spoil it for you, but it's very inspiring. Watch it on YouTube.
I'll have to check it out, man. I'll definitely have to check it out. I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't do it once before.
Sure.
But I will say this, though. Watching him perform on stage and knowing, you know, being a road performer myself, you know, I travel and sure. I know how rough it can be. I was like, man, I couldn't imagine him. I couldn't imagine doing that almost every single night.
You know what? Passion is a funny thing, bro. You know what I mean? That's why you go on the road and do comedy. That's why I'm trying to build my brand and do as much magic as possible, because at the end of the day, this is what we want to die doing, man. This is what we want to do. It's something that is still fun till this day.
I tell layman this all the time. I tell, you know, people this all the time is, you know, the one thing about being a magician is the thing that separates magicians from normal people is the trouble we will go through just to do that one thing. You know what I mean? You know, there's things that you've done that is absolutely ridiculous. Normal people would never do.
It's funny. You know, I read this many times in many magic books that we practice something that nobody will ever see in their lifetime, because majority of the things we do are secret. So we're practicing something that you as muggles will never see. It's crazy. It's crazy. Years and years and years of practice. It's crazy.
I always tell people, you know, I stood in front of the, when I first got into magic, I stood in front of a mirror and practiced the classic pass over and over and over and over. And no one is going to, you know, no one's going to know, you know.
Not at all.
Nor will they care.
Not really.
Nor they care. That's true, man. That's what's insane. That is insane about what we do. Now, let me do this. Let's talk about you here some, man. All right.
Let's go, bro.
So, right now, how long have you been performing professionally?
Professionally for a little under 10 years. I've always been a hobbyist, ever since I was 10. And one day I was just like, you know what? It's stuck with me for this long. I had many hobbies throughout my life, but magic seems to just stick. Sometimes I would forget about it because I would discover other things like girls or just other things. I used to DJ, which I think all Filipinos at one point of their life has to like DJ. It's one of those things. It's written in your birth certificate,
I think. You were the man come karaoke night. So there you go.
Oh, karaoke is
yeah, you know.
Thing too. Yes.
Filipino culture.
I love my mom to death, but she said, I remember doing karaoke one time by myself in my room, and she, this is how I know my mom loves me. She was like, Jonathan, you're so good. And I'm like, that's when I knew my mom was tone deaf. Like she,
my mother-in-law, she always tries to get me to sing at the karaoke. Cause you know for a fact that Christmas, Thanksgiving, any gathering,
absolutely,
that karaoke machine's coming out, bro.
Not just karaoke machine. The karaoke machine is like the best of the best that you can buy. My parents had like the CDs, the tapes, and then they had the laser disc. Do you remember the laser disc? Man, the big CDs. If you don't know what laser discs are, then you're too young.
You're too young. You're too young to listen to this podcast, kids. Well, I mean, I would sing. There's times I would do it, you know. So, I mean, I would get full-fledged.
What's your go-to song? You had to choose a song. What's your go-to song?
Oh, man. Gosh, it's been a while. It has been a while. What did I sing? Oh, you know what I sung? This is so embarrassing. Red, Red Wine. Red, Red Wine. Hey,
that's a tough song, man. Any song is tough for me. So, man, I hit those high notes like, man, I would break glass.
Well, here's the cool thing. One cool thing. Okay. Because, another thing about Filipino culture, folks, is Filipinos, they throw a lot of, they celebrate any chance they can. They like to celebrate. Like, you know, when my son was little, he had the biggest birthday parties you could imagine, you know, like you said earlier, all these aunties that you didn't even know were aunties were there. So,
absolutely.
Let me ask you this though, Jonathan, being Filipino with your culture, did you get a lot of opportunity to perform magic in front of some of these events and stuff?
Yeah, lately, yes. Like my parents, when I first started, doing magic, sharing magic, my only audience was my parents, and they at that at that point they were very supportive. Oh, Jonathan, that's really good, or my dad, but. I remember telling my parents, this is what I want to do. This is magic is something that I'm passionate about. And they're like, Jonathan, that's a waste of time. You're not going to make it.
Go be a nurse.
Yeah. Go be a nurse. Or what else are we? Work on a cruise ship something. But they're my biggest fans. Right now they embrace it. So now every time I'm at a Filipino party with my parents, they're like, Jonathan, Come here. My son is a magician. Like, come here. Show them a magic trick. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Yeah. So, yeah. I perform. I always have a deck of cards with me, especially if I go to these parties. But, I have no choice. I have to. My parents want to show me off. That's cool, though. Thank you so much. You know, my parents love you.
That's super cool, man. That's super cool. And I think that's a lot with a lot of people. You know, like I remember when I first started, you know, my parents were supportive, but I think a lot of people around me were kind of like, what? And I'm sure Antoinette's parents were kind of like, I can't believe you married this bum. So, yeah. let's do this. Because on the introduction, you brought up like an organization type charity.
Sure.
You're associated with. So let's hear about that. Tell us more about that.
Yes. So, I've been the official magician of Autism Meets and Rockin' Our Disabilities for, I think, more than 5 years. It was an organization that came to me. I don't have any children or any family members on the spectrum or anybody with disabilities. I gave it a try. Autism Eats is an organization, a nonprofit organization that offers a dining, a place for families with children with autism, family members, to eat without being judged. It's a challenge, and I didn't know this. I thought I had a lot of misconceptions. I wasn't aware of this community, and it's they just want to be treated like regular people. You know, they just want to be treated normally. They want to be able to go out and enjoy themselves without like people turning their heads like, oh, what's wrong with that kid or what's wrong with that person. So my job as a magician was they would close down the whole entire restaurant and offer families with not just with children or family members with autism, but with disabilities, come and enjoy their food, and I'm there to entertain with a sensory-friendly magic show and even strolling magic too. In the beginning, I had a lot to learn. So there's a couple of magicians out there that I knew they worked with the special needs community. I approached them, and I'm still learning, but what's great about this is now after 5 years, they're my family. I see the same family members there every time I go to an event, and I'm part of their family. They're part of my family, and it's just, man, it's an amazing thing. It's yeah.
Dude, I think that's awesome, man. I do know, you know, we actually have some family members who have a child with autism, and
sure.
People do not realize how hard it is for parents to go out and do things like other families do, you know?
And absolutely.
But I mean, with the awareness out there, it is, hopefully it's getting out more that way. You know, you don't have people rolling their eyes like, wow, that's an unruly child you have right there.
Well, some people are just awful, regardless on what they're, we live in a very selfish world.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are selfish, and they don't, it's all about me, and they don't care what other people's situations are. And that's not the way to live. Nor is that how I want to raise my children. You know, I want them to be accepting, and, you know, I'm still learning to accept, everybody. You know what I mean? I'm a very loving person. I accept everybody, but you know, it's a constant learning to be a better person.
It's super cool, man, that, like I said, you're a part of that, doing something with that. I think that's great. And it keeps you pretty busy too. Seems like.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't do a lot of children's shows these days, but when they call me up and say, hey, you know, our kids want to see some magic, or they want to learn some magic, or I'm there. They don't even have to ask me twice. It's just one of those things, you know. At the end of the day, it's all about just inspiring. I want to inspire my kids, because if I'm not here tomorrow, because fun fact, magic is not a full-time job for me. I actually work at the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California. I work with the U.S. Army as a civilian, and it's one of the largest training areas in the United States, I think it was before my 40s. I was like, I might not be here tomorrow. You know, I have 18-year-olds driving with tanks right next to me. And I'm like, what will my kids think of me if I pass away today? You know, will they think my dad was cool, or he was a piece of shit or whatever? I didn't want that. And I it bothered me. It really bothered me. Like, what kind of legacy am I leaving? I don't want them to know their dad, because in the past, like all of us when we were younger, we were just, you know, a little selfish. We were doing our own thing, you know. And I didn't want my kids to know that part of me, you know. And I really was a shitty human being in my younger days. I'll admit it. But I felt that I had to make that up and show them the way. Give them a blueprint on how they should run their lives if I'm gone, if I'm not here tomorrow. I want to inspire them. And that's the only reason why I do this. My reason, of course, my reasons have grown, but that is my main reason why I continue doing what I'm doing. It's, I don't care if I get famous. I don't care if I get rich, just as long as they have that knowledge that their dad was a good man and I want to be just like my dad. That's
awesome, dude. And I believe we all, you know, as a parent, I believe if you're a decent parent, of course you want to have that reflection on your children.
Absolutely.
I'm with you with, you know, 100%. I like to think, this is what I catch myself thinking all the time, man. I'm like, you know, like, I don't want to be a grandparent like anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't wait till maybe one day, because so much crazy stuff happens to me on these shows and stuff. And I'm like,
sure, absolutely.
Man, when I'm an old man, I'm going to have so many crazy, cool stories to tell my grandkids.
You want to share, in person. Absolutely.
You know,
that's a huge goal, you know, just to live longer. You know, I went on this journey recently. I weighed in at almost 220. I was pre-diabetic, high cholesterol, the doctors were like, man, you got to switch it up. If you don't switch it up, and this was a year ago, almost a year ago. And they were like, you need to switch it up, or you're going to get diabetes. You're going to get all this. And then heart attacks run rampant in my family. So, you know, I took it upon myself. Now I'm at 160, no longer pre-diabetic.
Nice.
And the thing is just another reason why that I'm doing this for my kids. Just like you, I want to be there to see my grandkids. I want to be able to, you know, and people, I had a friend tell me, you're going to die anyway. I'm just trying to prolong it. I'm trying to enjoy the rest of the journey.
But you know what? You hopefully, of course, we all going to die. But, you know, absolutely. I don't want to I don't want my heart to explode. I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And now I don't want to
die because it's something that I did.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I would rather, exactly. And well, let me say this because I know a little bit about that. I did know a little bit, you know, because we follow each other on Instagram. And now I got to say this right off the bat. The pandemic, man, I've gained all kinds of weight. I'm out of shape. Ugh, you know, I'm a fat blob
of shit. It was tough on everybody. Absolutely.
But you, sir, you are actually, it seems like you are a runner, if I'm not mistaken. Correct? You do?
I became a runner. It's something that I found that I enjoyed. Who would have thought? I wouldn't have thought in a million years that's something that I would.
Well, okay. Here's the thing: is I am a runner. Absolutely. But now, right now, this past year, absolutely, I haven't done anything, and
sure.
I've you know really fell way off the wagon, and my plan is for this year is to get back in, you know, to get back in the habit of running, because not just if physically, but mentally, it really helped me, you know, and
dude, I'm finding that out, man, absolutely.
Yeah, mentally, you know, one thing I would do, Jonathan, when I would run, like I would think about something with my show or a new routine that I'm working on and I might have a problem that I can't get past. I will go on a run.
Clears your mind.
And then on my cool back, on my cool damn walk, a solution pops in my head.
That's really cool.
So there's a lot of good benefits to it, man. And like I said, I see you doing it, dude. You look fantastic.
I appreciate you, brother.
Now, I don't know. I know, Philip, you stay away from that rice, bro. You're not eating no rice?
No more rice, man.
Oh,
so when I eat chicken adobo, I have to do that cauliflower rice. Not the same.
It's not the same. You know what, I mean? Something else, like, you know, back in the day, I got to just touch on this real quick, but I love steamed rice. I love plain steamed jasmine rice.
Dude, you're killing me.
I got to say, but people don't understand this, okay? And I'm talking to you white people that you do not have to, you don't have to fry rice for it to be good, though. You don't have to have fried rice.
Oh, no.
See,
not at all.
I have learned how great just some steamed jasmine rice.
You eat it plain?
Oh, yeah.
Can you eat a plate?
Yes, sir.
Man, well, I can't eat a plate. I need some, like, sauce or something.
Well, no, I can put – now, you know what I like to eat it with is a lot of times, you know, whenever you eat your lumpia, you'll have the hot chili. You know what I'm talking about, the hot chili.
You know, yeah.
You know
what I'm talking about.
And sometimes you get some of that hot chili sauce in there on that rice. Oh, man, that's really good, too. Boy.
Bro. But, yes.
Anyways, I don't want to tempt you, man. Keep eating your cauliflower rice. There we go.
If you really want to tempt me, ice cream, cookies, and cake. That's my vice.
Yeah. Can you have Holo Holo?
Oh man, you're killing me. I love that. Holo Holo is one of my favorite desserts. Cold or hot on a hot day. Cold day, I don't care. That's the deal. If all you non-Filipinos who haven't tried Holo Holo, do yourself a favor. I know Jollibee's is coming to a town near you.
That would be great if they would. I would love that. That would be awesome. Now, because we don't have a Jollibee's here, but now I will tell you this: if you ever come out, Jonathan, if you ever come out to like Nashville,
yes,
and do House of Cards, okay?
So, I want to visit.
If you do, or hell, if you just come out this way, period, there's a really good mom and pop Filipino restaurant that me and Antoinette, every time I'm playing a gig in Nashville, we always stop at this place, and they got the best Holo Holo, dude.
Ooh.
I mean.
You have it with, ube ice cream and
yes.
quad, all
yes.
that stuff.
Yes.
You eat the beans?
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, what? Yes.
That's dude, I've been in this game. We've been married 20-something years, bro. So, I mean,
good,
I'm basically a white Filipino. So
I love it, man. A lot of the Filipinos, my wife is white too, but she'll eat the top of the halo halo, but she doesn't understand the whole entire beans thing. She's just like, beans.
Now, I mean, there's some things I still won't ever touch. You know, like, you know, the balut. I ain't, you know.
You haven't tried that?
Hell no, bro. I ain't.
Bro, you gotta try it. It's very jarring. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it.
Oh man, if you don't know what balut is, it is a duck embryo. It's a fetus. Like, it's not even fully formed yet. It's really good. Like, it tastes like strong chicken soup, but looking at it, it's one of those things. As a not, like, I grew up on it, you just have to take it like a shot. You don't look at it, don't smell it, just eat it. Then don't look at it. Try it.
You almost made it sound convincing. I don't know, but all right, there you guys heard it. Jonathan Mullo said try balut. So there we go. The man in the purple suits. There we go. Taylor says try balut. You produce that at your chop cup routine, like little balloons underneath your.
Hey, and you know what? If you wanna like really prank somebody, kids, don't use regular eggs. Use balut. Like, let's be honest. You open your door and it's just smashed like duck embryos on your door. That is much better than just like yolk and yeah. That is just you. You will scare somebody. Like, yeah, that's just a tip for me. Don't egg people's houses, but, you know.
There we go. Well, let's do this. Now, so you pretty much perform regular at the castle in Hollywood, California, correct?
I've performed there twice at the Close-Up Gallery, which is great. I'm surprised they called me back for a second time. I was actually supposed to make my debut during, April of 2020. If you don't remember, that's when they shut down the country. So I was gearing up and I was ready to go, but they canceled it because they closed down the castle. And then I had my debut in August at the Magic Castle, and then they brought me back in December. And yeah, man, it's a very magical. Have you been, Danny?
I have not, man. A few months back, someone asked me, you know, I actually did have the opportunity, but I couldn't make it work for my schedule. I look to get out there. I would love to perform there. It's on the
You're gonna be my guest, man. Dinner's on me. Dinner and drinks. I'm a man of my word. Come out. I will take care of you and your wife.
Man, I would love that, dude. That sounds awesome. And just the place, you know, the Magic Castle is just such a, you know, so much history. It's the people that have played there, it's just, you know, it blows your mind.
It was very surreal. It was one of the rooms I've always wanted to perform at because my heroes in magic have, you know, shared their passion and hard work in that room. And dude, when I first stepped into there as a performer, I just looked around. That was it. It was quiet. There was no audience. And I soaked it up, man. It was an amazing experience.
Now, let me ask you this, because something I did want to ask, you know, you started out in magic kind of young, you know, you said you was kind of an introvert, but now you clearly are an entertainer. What happened? Was there something that made that shift to where you, because you know as well as I do, Jonathan, especially in magic and a lot of things, there's some people who never leave the hobbyist stage, and that's okay. That's all right.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they may be too afraid to make that jump to performing. It is a fear. I think you kind of have to get over to do.
It's wrong.
And so let's hear your story though, about you getting over the hump and starting to be a performer.
Man, you know, like I said, the only people that I shared magic with when I was a lot younger, even through my teenage years, were my sister and my parents. That was it. And a couple friends here and there. But my hands would shake like furiously, like in the beginning, especially because I wasn't very, I wasn't very confident in myself. I moved to Portland, Oregon with a girl. She was like, "You want to move to Portland, Oregon?" I'm like, "Sure, why not?" So we traveled up to Portland, Oregon, and we ended up breaking up shortly after. And I stayed up there, and I learned a lot about myself. I have no family or friends out there. And for 7 years, it was like a search for who I was. And what really helped is I started working retail, like a lot of retail jobs. So you have to be able to go up to like, "Hi, thank you for coming in. Well, how can I help you?" You have to be able to be, and that was really tough to do too, because I was shy. Sometimes I would walk up to somebody and they're like, "Hey, you got to go greet the customer." So I would come up and I'm like, "No." So I went, it was a process. It was a process. And even with magic though, years and years of just like hands shaking and the adrenaline pumping and not knowing how to talk to people, it was definitely an acquired skill. I had to learn it, and I'm still learning, you know. And, you know, believe it or not, one of the funniest things is when people meet me in person, they're like, you're not like what I thought you would be. Because they think I'm like full blast all the time. "Hey, my name is Jonathan Moore. How are you? Oh, nice to meet you. Give me a hug." I'm really just chill. I can be introverted in many ways. I'm a homebody. I love just chilling with my family. But that persona is real, what I bring on stage, but it's just a very heightened version of it. It's like me on acid. So it's real, but it's, I'm introverted in many ways still, but I'm more comfortable performing. So a little tip for all you magicians trying to get over that fear is perform. Just put yourself out there. Even with not just a magician, I would imagine with even comedy or just you have to get out there. And then that's how I got better at it. Sometimes if you want me to shake still, the way you do that is like, "Hey, Jonathan, come over here. Show us a magic trick." And then I'm like, "Holy shit." And I'll still get the shakes. But at the end of the day, man, it's
Well, you also said confidence. And, you know, I remember, you know, and I'm also with you because on stage, I'm an extension of myself, but I'm I'm a high energy. I'm loud. I'm blah, 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 sure. Face. And, when I'm not on stage, I'm just normal, you know. I just want to talk, chill, absolutely. You know. And you know, I've had people, you know, of course you have the people's like, "Hey, this is my friend, they're such and such, such and such," and you know, people look at you and they're like, "Well, be funny or show us a magic trick," you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, no other profession gets that. Like a doctor's not like, "Oh, you're a doctor, we'll perform open heart surgery right here. Prove
Where's
it.
Your violin at? Where pull out your guitar."
Yeah,
we don't. We're the people that like. Yeah,
we have to prove it right away. But you're absolutely right, though. The more and more you perform or anything you want to do, the better you get.
Absolutely.
The more and confidence is so much, not arrogance, but confidence.
Oh no, we're not talking about arrogance. Confidence is definitely a different thing.
Absolutely. Here. It is. And you, like I said, being a performer, you understand that. You can always tell whenever you bump into somebody who has arrogance, you're like, "Well, you haven't performed much," because, you know, there's always an audience around the corner waiting to kick you in the balls, bro. So,
you know, one of the things that helped me out a lot is, it's tip to all you magicians out there too, that, when I go into, especially a strolling environment where I'm doing card tricks and things like that, it's not, you don't shove your cards in your face and you're like, "Hey, would you like to see a magic trick?" And then get going. It's about connecting with your audience. And I feel that, when I approach a crowd and I'm going to show them magic, I don't pull out my deck of cards automatically and show them something. I'm like, what is your name? What, nice to meet you. Oh, what do you do? And you have to build that connection, because your job is to make them like you, not your magic. They want you, they have to remember you, which is very, very important. I think a lot of magicians fail at that. I understand you want to perform strong magic. You want to amaze them. But you can also, you know, get to know them as people, because it's about connection. If they like you, they'll like what you do. And that is stands true.
That is okay. Now this guy, okay. I couldn't agree with you 100% more. I think especially in magic, especially this happens so many times with magicians that their magic outshines them. And people leave that magic show or that restaurant or wherever, and they're like, wow, that magician was good, wasn't he? That magician.
Yes.
And I'm in the same boat with you, Jonathan. I don't want them to say, I want them to say Danny Whitson was a blast.
Absolutely.
And you do that by connecting with your audience, getting to know your audience, let them get to know. You are 100% right, brother. Absolutely. And I think if people... And not just in magic. I don't want to just keep this in magic. I mean, anything. If people, you know, can learn how to do that, you know, it's going to benefit you.
Absolutely.
Like I said, man, me and you are totally on the same field on this. You want to know something? Who was a gosh? I even said I didn't want to go too magic jargon here, folks. So you listeners listening, forgive us. Okay, this is just what happens.
Oh, you muggles.
Yeah, this is what happens. But you know who taught me that right off the bat? The first. Back in the day, this is where that struck. And I was like, first of all, not only the guy is super talented with the deck of cards, he's super entertaining. But remember whenever Bill Malone would go, Bill Malone.
Yes. Bill,
he was sitting there selling Bill Malone.
Absolutely.
You know, you didn't leave Bill Malone's show with, and that chant was stuck in your head, his name.
You'll remember.
You're going to remember.
He wasn't that magician. He wasn't. That magician. What was his name?
Yeah. I don't know, but he did this.
Yeah.
you know,
absolutely.
They knew it was Bill Malone. So whenever I saw that, I thought, you know, I've got to sell Danny Whitson as much as I can. And you do the same thing. You absolutely do the same thing. You understand that. And I noticed that right off the bat. That's why I was like, I got to get you on the podcast. I want to throw this out here. I got to ask, this is interesting to me. We talked about magicians, so we're talking about magic. Who is your top five all time?
Wow. Of all time. You know, I love the history of magic, but, you know, of course, David Copperfield. No specific order. David Copperfield was very instrumental in just fueling and starting my fire, you know, with magic. David Blaine, you know, pulled me back in. I discovered girls, and I left magic for a little bit, and I saw his street magic, TV show, and I was just, he pulled me back in, and he pushed me in there. And then one of my heroes and mentors was Aaron Fisher. He's a nice. Wonderful card magician. He is the one that helped me take this professionally. He gave me the tools, and he broke a lot of bad habits when it came to just magic I was doing, and just opened my eyes to a world that I had no clue that was there. I thought it was just a deck of cards, and there was I have a lot of love for that guy. And then my personal favorite, David Williamson is, yes, He is the card magic comedy god.
Comedy.
His magic is amazing, but his stories are even more amazing. He is just an amazing performer. And then you mentioned Bill Malone. There's so many magicians to list. If you gave me five, Bill Malone, David Williamson, David Copperfield, David Blaine, and my mentor, Aaron Fisher. Absolutely.
You know, I want to give a shout out to Aaron Fisher real quick. I don't know Aaron, but I am a big fan of his YouTube channel where they look at classic magicians and then they kind of break down I could geek out on that all day long, you know.
Dude.
I totally.
We're in the same boat, bro.
Well, let's do this, Jonathan. Every guest, every performer on the Abracadam podcast has to tell this. So I'm going to ask you right now, sir. We want to hear a hell gig story. Let's hear a gig. Either something crazy happened, it went bad, something fun. Let's hear it.
I have many, but I have two that comes to mind. They're really short stories, though. The first one is I was doing a nonprofit organization charity event at a Chuck E. Cheese. They closed down the Chuck E. Cheese, and it was for children, foster children. And I was doing strolling magic, and I came to a child. He was about 13. His child, yeah, 13 years old, around that age. And I was showing him a coin trick. I vanished the coin, and he was like, "It's in your pocket." I'm like, "What?" It was in my pocket, but that's besides the point. And he proceeded to reach into my pocket, and I stepped away, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't know what the laws are here." No, but I was like, "No, no, that's, you know, it's not in the pocket." And, you know, and he was like, he looked at me right in the eye, right in the eye. And it said, "I'm going to expose you tonight." I'm like, What am I supposed to say to that? Like, so I said, "That's not going to be fun." And he looked at me in the eye again and said, "It's going to be fun for me." So yeah, that was there's no winning in that. You cannot win.
Was his name Valentino? Yeah. Was it the Valentino's kid running around Chuck E. Cheese there?
I don't know, man. But it was a lesson learned. And what I did to fix this, you're always taught, especially for children, to ignore them. So I gave him the cold shoulder the whole entire night. Literally, every time he would come and watch magic, I would turn my back towards him. And then I would just kind of, he would move to the right, and I moved to the right, and I would show magic and move to the left. And he just finally gave up. And that's a tip for you children magicians. Just don't give them the time of day if they're being rude. The second story, I do this, one of my favorite tricks. It's called the gypsy balloon. It's where you tear, you have a balloon that's floating, and you tear pieces of the balloon, and then you restore it at the end, and it floats up. It's a very beautiful trick. I have a story to it that has to do with my family. And I had an outdoor show, and the balloon is hanging behind me. And I say my spiel, like, "I love my family, blah, blah, blah." And, you know, I'm getting those heartstrings pulled. And I turn around to get the balloon, and the balloon is gone. And you turn around, and you're like, "Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good night." And that was it. You just own up to it. You just, what are you supposed to do in that situation? You're just like, "Thank you very much." And then they were like, "Oh, maybe he was looking at his dead grandma up there. I don't know. He was just in a moment." But another lesson learned. So I don't have many stories that people are just giving me such a hard time. Because like I said, it's about building those connections. And once you build those connections, you get less and less hecklers.
Absolutely.
But kids are assholes.
They are assholes. I'm like, you know, it's like, "Magic's not real." And I'm like, "Your marriage isn't real. Shut up."
No,
you know.
You want to test yourself as a magician? Do yourself a favor. I don't care if you're a close-up magician or you only primarily do adults. If you're learning magic and you're just getting into it, do kid shows just for a short while. It will teach you so many lessons in magic. I'm not that even joking. It's one of the greatest things that I've done for my personal self.
That is the absolute truth. And, you know, you talk about connecting with your audience. So I'll tell, this happened to me not that long ago. This really wasn't that long ago. Just a few months ago, just about 3 months ago. There's a routine that I do on stage. And it's kind of like a card stab, but it's with a pooper scooper. So I snatched the card out of thin air with a pooper scooper. Anyways. I'm doing the show. Show's going great. Got this dude up on stage. He throws the cards up in the air. I snatch it up, and it screws up. I miss the card. Okay, it doesn't. It didn't work the way it was supposed to work.
All right.
I'm like, no big deal. You know, I've got an out. You know, I always have an out if something goes
wrong. Absolutely, professional.
Well, I do my out, Jonathan, and it didn't work.
Oh, no.
First time in 20 years, bro.
Oh, no.
This has never happened. And I just thought, holy shit, Danny. You know, so then I was like, well, screw it. All right. Well, we screwed that one up, you know. And literally what I had to do, I mean, people, because, you know, no one believes the magician really screws up. They're waiting on you to pull the shit out of your ass.
Absolutely.
You know? And so the whole audience is still like, what? Is he serious? You know, and I'm like, dude, get the hell out of here, bro. I told you shit screwed up. Don't rub my failures in my face. So, you know, they're laughing. They think I'm full of crap and I'm doing this show. And really, I did screw it up, but I keep making callbacks to this screw up. So they would laugh. They kept laughing. I kept making callbacks to it.
At the end of the show,
I had several people, you know, come up to me and they're like, you really had us going at first. We thought you really messed that trick up. You
know what I mean? Dude, but you handled it like a pro. You handled that's professional. You can learn a lot from that story there, magicians or comedians or anybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I wish I did, because, you know, of course, when you get home, you're like, okay, seriously, what happened? This was the craziest. The only thing that I could think of, because I still couldn't find that card. So the only thing I could think of is like there was a small gap between the wall and the stage.
I'm thinking,
did it fall between there? You know, but I know why it happened though. I do know why it happened. And like I said, magicians or anybody doing anything, preventive maintenance, kids.
Yes.
All my props, there's one little thing I should have done that I noticed needed to be done, but I was like, You didn't do it. And I didn't do it. And that wound up, you know.
You know what? And prepare yourself. Like, really take your time and prepare yourself. Because the same trick with the balloon, I had this horror story. I ripped up the pieces. And I was ready to do the big finale, and come to find out I didn't set it up. Fucking did set it up. So I'm stuck with a balloon with a string this big, holding it, not knowing what to do. But a tip out there, like, you're taking them on a journey. You're painting a picture. During the show, they have no clue where you're fucking going. So I just gave it to a kid. I'm like, thank you so much. Everybody have a good night. And nobody knew any better. They're like, what was the point to that? Like, well, you just scored a kid a balloon. Like, literally.
They probably, but to them, they probably didn't. You know, to them, they enjoyed the show so much. Boom. And, you know,
absolutely.
You had your audience, you know, you had them at that point. So, that's why, once again, it's so important to relate to your audience or, you know, it, like I said, that you do. I want to get to this real quick before we get out of here. I want to ask this question. We got a hypothetical. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's say Jonathan, I don't know if you believe in UFOs or not, brother, but here we go.
Possibly.
Let's say you're out in a field somewhere. And aliens come down, and they're getting ready to abduct you.
Okay.
And they say, wait a minute. We're going to abduct you I'll tell you what. We won't abduct you if you show us a cool-ass magic trick. What magic trick would you show aliens to impress the hell out of them?
Well, I will show you the one that I would show them.
Now, all right, here we go. Now, abracadabra listeners, Jonathan Molo is going to show me a magic trick. Now, a lot of times they all know
you're the alien, though, right?
Magic. There's only been one other magician that has showed me a magic trick on this podcast. Only one other magician. So let's see.
This is very situational, because if the aliens don't have five fingers, it might not work. But I would ask the aliens, Mr. and Mrs. Alien, I want you to follow along. I have this amazing magic trick we do here on Earth, and you're going to absolutely love it. Please don't abduct me. Anyway. You're going to go just like this. Danny, you have to follow along. This is not YouTube. I can see you. There you go. Here we go. And then you're going to go like this. And then with your middle fingers, you're going to take your fingers. You can do this at home too. All right. And then you're going to take your middle fingers and go like this. All right. And this is where you have to really pay attention. You're going to twist, 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 twist. You got it? Danny, did you get it? Oh, you got it. He's a pro. Okay, then you're going to do this. Wiggle, 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 shake, shake, shake. Uh-huh.
I love it. All right.
It's not a real finger. Go right into the show.
Okay, okay.
Eight of my fingers still.
Yeah. All right, Abracadabra. For you guys who didn't see that, Jonathan he had me do some crazy finger movements, and then out of nowhere, he pulled out a giant, a double fake middle finger. It's a middle finger too, isn't it? There we go.
It is the middle. I gave you the middle finger.
I totally dig that, though. I love that. I never saw it. I never seen you slip it in there. That was good, man.
That's what she said.
There we go. And I think aliens would be good with that, too. There we go. No one's getting probed with that finger prop.
They would still abduct me. It's fine.
I tell you what, man. First of all, Jonathan, this has been a blast, dude. So much fun. I got to have you back on.
Honored.
If you don't mind, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can learn more about Jonathan Molo.
Absolutely. You could follow me on Instagram at Jonathan_Molo. And I share positivity, love all the time, not just with magic, just with life in general. And if you would like to book me and you're in the Los Angeles area, JonathanMolo.com would be it. Danny, thank you so much for having me. I am honored. When you ask me, like I told you earlier, when you ask me, I'm like, why doesn't he want to talk to me? Like, who am I? But, you know, I had so much fun. And, you know, during this very difficult time, being able to do these things and make connections with you, we've talked briefly in the past, but, you know, now I know a little bit more about you. And I'm just very thankful that you gave me this opportunity. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, brother. Thank you for coming on, man. And like I said, you're a fantastic magician, man. And I can't wait to get you back on.
Thank you. Please, please.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jonathan Molo. Such a great guy and a very talented magician. We talked a lot of Filipino culture, food, magic and Filipino food and some more magic. I mean, what else is there? I tell you what, if you guys have not done so yet, be sure to give us a follow, like, subscribe of the Abracadabra podcast on whatever platform it is you listen to podcasts on. If you are on Apple Podcasts, give us a review. I would love to get a review from you guys. Also, I want to give a big shout out to the states, Alaska, Illinois, Texas. I see you. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Will you please stop drinking vodka at my kid's birthday party?